and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially Matthew 26, verse 34. Jesus said to him, "You have said so, but I tell you from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." This is the text. You've heard of the golden rule, haven't you? The, quote, golden rule, namely, he who has the gold makes the rules. Okay. And so, the religious establishment making the rules. And along comes Jesus, and this from an article from a well-known Christian writer that I think was C.S. Lewis, saying, let's dispense with the whole idea that Christianity is a religion. Because in so many of the most important things, Christianity is the very opposite of a religion. See, the whole idea of religion is knowing how to approach God, how to worship, how to live in such a way that God is pleased, how to be worthy of eternal life, how to talk to God in prayer, and what God requires of us in caring for our fellow men. What Christianity is all about is how God comes to us, how he calls us to himself so that he may serve us, how Jesus lived in order to save us, how Jesus took our death on himself, how God has talked to us in his word with a gospel of love, and how Jesus came into our human nature in order to have us as his fellow men so that he might care for us. In other words, a religion is about doing things to seek righteousness and earn the favor of God. And Christianity is about nothing being possible for us to do in order to earn God's favor, but everything being done by God. This is illustrated by a question and an answer, actually at an ice cream parlor, meeting with someone who was wanting to know about going through adult instruction and becoming a member, who asked this, "So how do Lutherans believe they become worthy to receive communion?" And the answer was, "Ha! Actually, it was a little bit more laughter. And then, how can anyone become worthy of receiving the body and blood of the sinless Son of God? What do you mean, worthy? And the whole thing is, we're invited as sinners. There's no us becoming worthy. There is us being invited by a Savior who invites the unworthy, and that's the whole point, and that's why Christianity is the unreligion, if you will. But of course, the religious leaders, the religious establishment, standing there in judgment of Jesus, have it completely backwards. He is this character that comes along that is the opposite of the rules. He eats with sinners, touches the lepers, forgives the adulterer, raises the dead. Do you know who he's eating with? And they can't quite make it out. They know the rules. How to be worthy. They know the rules. How to do religion. How to do prayers, worship, when and how much incense. How to do the sacrifices. how to organize the festivals and the feasts. And the most important of those is, of course, Passover, and on, which would be absolutely great if Christianity was oriented around the rules. But they do not know what God is all about. Going through a few of them, they do not know what the sacrifices are about. They think the sacrifices are their people approaching God. No. It's God saying, come to my temple and let me show you in a picture what I am going to do later on in sending my son to be the one sacrifice. And it's only when they finally will come around, some of them, to seeing it in that way, that the whole thing's going to make sense. They don't know why it is that God gave them the law and the Ten Commandments in the first place. They think it's so that by following these rules of good living, they can be right in the eyes of God. God gave the Ten Commandments so that they can know that they are sinners in need of a Savior and come running to God, who then will say, and here is my son, the Savior. They don't get who the central figure in the Passover celebration is. And they think by that practice, they are affirming their relationship with God and being His people. But you know how this is. The blood of the lamb, as they took and dipped the hyssop and then marked the lintel and the doorposts and made the sign of the cross. That's what brought God to pass over and pass by them with judgment. They do not know who it was that the prophecies were talking about. Down to our day, many of the rabbis say, well, the prophecies are about the nation Israel. And so they get it backwards. They miss the whole point. And this is happening all over the world, not just simply with the people of the Old Testament, not simply with the Jews, but with the whole mass of humanity that wants to say, dear God, I'm bringing something to offer to come into your presence. But they are religious. They do want to know how to approach God and how to be right with God, and that also is happening all around the world. As the whole business of religion, as C.S. Lewis defines it, religion doesn't satisfy. And we offer the alternative. My favorite illustration of all of this is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul in his before and after, before the Damascus Road, he knew the prophecies, he knew the laws, he knew the scriptures. He could quote backwards and forwards and inside out. He knew all of the verses and how they were related. He'd learned how to put them together, and the way that they fit together actually was like putting together a jigsaw puzzle with one piece missing. And when that piece is left out, you know what that piece is? That piece is, who is Jesus, the Savior, and Him bringing the grace of God. You leave that piece out and you look through the Old Testament, and what you will see will be laws and rules and how to approach God, how to live a righteous life, how to earn your salvation, what you do when you have sinned to make it right with God, and on and on and on. And then Paul on the Damascus Road encounters Jesus. And you can say it this way, in learning about Jesus, he learned that everything was the opposite of what he had learned, but there's another way of looking at it. The one piece that was missing, when that one piece slipped into place, all of a sudden, the whole business snapped into focus. And he could look through all of those prophecies in the Old Testament and now understand what they were really about. The sacrifices, he knew what they meant. The commandments, he knew why they were there. And everything throughout the Old Testament pointed to Jesus Christ. I have to say, I've seen a little bit of this happen. It was an adult instruction that I went into it intending to do 5, maybe 10 sessions and ended up doing 2. The fellow I was sitting down with to talk about what Lutherans teach, he knew his Bible backwards and forwards. He could quote all kinds of verses. But he didn't quite understand the whole business of God's law and the gospel in Jesus Christ. He was still in the mindset of, this is what I have to do to be a good Christian. And as we started in, just simply explaining the law and gospel to him, then I started in on the Ten Commandments, and he took over and he said, well, if that's the case, then this and this and this and this and this. I'm standing there going, what? That was my whole lesson. What do I do now? Okay, let's talk about first article of the creed. And I get 2 sentences in, and he said, well, if that's the case, then boom, 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 boom. My second lesson's gone. I go on to the second article of the creed, the third article of the creed, and he did most of the teaching. Each of the lessons that we sat down to do took about 2.5 hours because he was just having things open up to him right and left. I'm sitting back and, okay, yeah, this is a good ride. Okay. 2.5 hours into this, I'm wearing out. Can we meet again next Sunday? We met again next Sunday, and he finished it off. He told me what baptism was all about, what the Lord's Supper was, and he had confirmed himself. So, okay, next Sunday, you're confirmed. Yeah, come to the Lord's Supper. You understand it. And when things suddenly snap into place, it's an amazing thing. And so Jesus is there. He's the piece that doesn't fit in with how they've put it all together. And he begins to preach to them. And this over somewhere around 3 years, preaching to them, and they don't want to listen to it because they know the rules and they know how it's supposed to go. And what he's saying is so different because he's bringing a kingdom in that is so different. There with the council, he calls them to follow him. He confronts them with the true state of their religion. He tells them the need of their souls. And he tells them who he is. A few quotes from Jesus. State of their religion, whitewashed tombs. The need of their souls. You must be born again. Who he is. From now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. And while they will not receive it that day, what Jesus has done for them is he has undone what they have built in order to build something completely new. And guess what? That's just like with us. And guess what? That's a great place to be, with Jesus undoing and rebuilding. And it's a great place to be because it's the place of grace. And what God is doing in us in Christ Jesus. Epilogue to all of this is that in the months and years after that date, we read about it in the book of Acts, how many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. He evangelized them on the way to the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.